Hello and welcome everyone to a new interview on Small Caps Investment Research. Today we're speaking with Mr. Tim Daniels, the President and CEO of Erin Ventures Inc., which is a Canadian-based mineral exploration company with boron assets in the country of Serbia. We are very curious to find out more about this company with a European focus. Erin is listed on the TSX Venture Exchange with ticker symbol EV. Tim, thanks so much for joining us today. Welcome.
Thanks for having me. Pleasure to be here.
As this is our initial interview, could you give us an introduction of Erin Ventures, its history, and its activities?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Most importantly, and what we're all here to talk about today, is our European asset. Since 2011, we've been 100% focused on developing a boron project in Serbia that we own 100% of.
Most of our listeners are familiar with gold and silver, but not necessarily with the boron market. Can you first tell a bit more about boron, the products that it's used in, and also its selling price?
Sure. Boron is a very unique mineral in that it literally affects the lives of all humans on this planet, and yet very few of us know much about it. First of all, boron is a rare element. There's literally a small handful of economic deposits that exist in the entire world. Secondly, it's a very important mineral. Without boron, the modern world that we enjoy would be significantly different than we know it. For example, today boron is used in well over 500 products that shape modern life. And there's new applications that are being developed regularly. The current market size for boron in all its various shapes and forms is about $5 billion U.S. Per year and growing annually. One of the very common uses of boron that I believe all your listeners will easily be able to relate to if they reach in their pocket and pull out their smartphone. The glass on that phone, which is called e-glass or borosilicate glass, that glass, along with the glass in their television and computer screens, on solar panels, on the glass panels on the outside of high-rise buildings, et cetera, any glass that requires the characteristic of being heat-resistant and impact-resistant gets that characteristic from the boron in it. And in fact, that phone in your pocket, the glass on the screen, has about 12% boron in the glass. Some of the other uses for the boron is the making of fiberglass, both the fiberglass mats and insulation. Is a very important market for boron. The manufacture of ceramic glazes and porcelain enamels is another really important use. And between these first uses I've mentioned, that currently accounts for about 60% of borite consumption in the world. But there's multitudes of other uses that include everything from the low-tech mundane, like detergents and fire retardants, fertilizers, insecticides, wood preservatives, through to, you know, the more exotic high-end, like, for example, the newest generation of lithium batteries have a substantial quantity of boron in it. And they find that the boron makes the battery better in every way. The fighter jets, the stealth fighters, are no longer made out of metals. They're made out of a ceramic. And what gives that ceramic its strength is the boron in it. And so the boron market is very broad and deep and growing to new uses annually. You asked about the selling price. For us, we have two primary products that we're looking to monetize from our deposit. One is colemanite, which is a raw form of boron, and that is one of the low-hanging fruits for us, is just bringing the material up out of the ground, doing a little bit of high grading of it, crushing it, bagging it, and selling it as is. And colemanite today at a purity of about 40% is worth about $500 a ton. The other revenue stream we're looking at is boric acid, which the the world price is about $750 a ton for the boric acid right now.
Okay, well, that's very good to know. And who are currently the major producers of boron, and how does supply-demand ratio look like in the foreseeable future?
Okay. There's two dominant producers in the marketplace right now. One is called Eddy, which is a wholly owned mining company, wholly owned by the government of Turkey. And the second is Rio Tinto, who owns the U.S. borax mine in California. Between the two of them, they make up about 75% of the world's production. And the balance, the remaining 25%, give or take, comes from about a half a dozen producers, mostly out of South America. And most of those deposits tend to be, you know, fairly low grade and inferior quality boron. Rio Tinto's intel shows that starting this year, 2019, the global consumption for borates is now outpacing the production, and the growth in demand is outpacing the production growth over the medium term, meaning the existing producers out there are having a hard time ramping up to keep up with increasing demand. Furthermore, Rio Tinto projects that over the next decade, the boron industry will need additional capacity that's equal to about 150% of Rio Tinto's current mine production to meet the growing demand. So these factors bode, you know, very well for rising boron prices over the short and medium term.
Wow, that's very interesting. Now, let's zoom in on your 100% owned Piscanha project, which already has a very attractive mineral resource, right?
Yes, absolutely. You're absolutely right about that. Considerable exploration work has been conducted in various layers and stages over several years on our property. In fact, there's been a total of about 108 drill holes in total, which amounts to about 36 kilometers of drilling, and that includes all the historical drilling done on the property. We do have a CIM-compliant resource, and CIM meaning Canadian Industry of Mining, which is kind of the world standard for the mining industry. And our CIM-compliant resource is a total of about 11.2 million tons of boron mineral in all categories combined. And to put that into some meaningful perspective, that equates to about 20 years of production. Our recently published updated mineral resource estimate actually shows an indicated resource of 7.8 million tons of 31% pure boric oxide, B2O3, as well as an additional inferred resource of 3.4 million tons, averaging 28.6% B2O3. So there is definitely a substantial resource in place today.
And is there room to expand that resource?
Yeah, for sure. The deposit remains unbounded in two directions, to the west and to the south. Previous drill holes in those two directions have returned some very high-grade intersections over mineable widths, stepped out quite a distance from our known deposit. And so that does suggest the real possibility of expanding the known resource in both of those directions. And just by the nature of this deposit, it's a bedded lens evaporate deposit. And with these types of deposits, they tend to be, you know, quite reliable in terms of your ability to know where your boundaries are. So we do show, you know, very good potential for resource expansion.
Very interesting to know is that you already have a 43-101 compliant preliminary economic assessment for the Piscanha project. Would you take us through the highlights of that PEA?
Sure. So first, let me preface my comments on the PEA by stating that the PEA predated our update to the mineral resource estimate, and those were the MRE numbers that we just talked about a minute ago. The PEA was based on our maiden resource estimate, so the first resource calculation that we did in 2014. The updated estimate that we talked about a minute ago is materially similar to the, in terms of quantum to the maiden estimate, but the additional infill drilling and other work that we completed definitely added confidence to the geological model and to the boron grade distributions, and it enabled the production of an updated mineral resource estimate, which is even more robust than the model on which the PEA numbers were based. So translation of what I just said is that we have even more confidence today in our resource estimate numbers than the resource estimate on which the PEA relied. So having stated that, go through quickly some of the highlights of the PEA for you. First of all, our PEA was authored by SRK out of Wales. And for your listeners who aren't familiar with SRK, they are one of the world's premier geological and mining mine engineering consulting firms. They authored the RPEA independent of us. The results in the PEA were some very robust numbers. Some of the highlights of the PEA included gross revenue over the project life of just north of $2 billion U.S., post-tax net present value using a 10% discount rate of U.S. dollar $428 million for the net present value, an internal rate of return of 64%, forecast annual revenue of $97 million per year, project payback only 15 months from startup to pay all the CapEx off. Expected mine life of 21 years, net operating margin of 68.7%, so very, very healthy operating margins. CapEx, the money required to build the mine, of about 84 million U.S., which certainly is not large in today's mining world. And as I said earlier, we're looking at paying off that CapEx in the first 15 months of operation. And as we touched on earlier, there's good potential for resource expansion. So those were the main conclusions in the PEA, and they're definitely very robust numbers.
Part of the beauty of the project is its excellent infrastructure. Could you give us some more color on that?
Sure, I'd be happy to. In fact, one of the points that attracted me to this project when I first located it in Serbia was the excellent existing infrastructure. So, for example, the property itself is in close proximity to a small mining town, which has about 3,000 inhabitants. It's about 250 kilometers away from Belgrade, which is the capital city in Serbia, and that's accessible by divided highway. The local area where our project is has a very strong mining tradition and history. In fact, there's been continuous mining operations directly in this same vicinity as our project for the last 150 years. So there's a very strong local mining culture. The excellent infrastructure that we were mentioning includes things like all-weather paved roads directly onto our property, three-phase power generation. There's a rail loading spur line, which is located literally 200 meters from our deposit. We have in the immediate vicinity everything from accommodations with, you know, hotels and restaurants to cell phone service right on the property, fuel stations, machine shops, et cetera, et cetera. So all the infrastructure that's required locally is already in place today. Additionally, moving our material to the world markets, which of course is another big consideration when you're developing a mining project. There are multiple deep water shipping ports direct into the heart of the European Union and to the entire world, located about 250 kilometers away by rail. We have direct and immediate access by the cheapest forms of bulk shipping, which is rail and water, today that exists. So those are all very important factors because it means that virtually 100% of our mine capex, meaning the money we spend to develop the mine, goes towards building the mine only, and we don't need to spend money building roads or power grids or accommodations or many of the other peripheral expenses that that so many new projects face in different parts of the world.
And what are the next steps that we can expect at Biscaña?
Okay, two general areas of focus for us right now, which we are advancing in tandem. The first, and arguably the most important, is advancement of the project itself on the ground to a feasibility study level and applying for a mining license. And that can all be achieved for less than $5 million and under an 18-month period. The second area of focus for us is development of strategic partnerships. The boron market, again, because it is an oligopoly, there's a handful of producers in the world. Working smart instead of hard means partnering with those who are already in the market today and understand a lot about the market that we do not yet understand. It's important with any industrial mineral that you do understand your market so that you're designing your mine capacity that meets the needs of the existing market. And, you know, for example, there's no need to build a mine that has a capacity of 2 million tons if the hole in the market that you're looking to fill is 200,000 tons or vice versa. So you need to understand your market. And so part of us understanding our market is developing strategic partnerships with different companies that are in the market today. And so we are at various stages of discussions and negotiations with a broad range of potential partners, which includes everything from other mining companies through to global financiers, product off-takers, specialty commodity traders, boron derivative producers such as boric acid producers and fertilizer producers and so on. And so we've got a number of discussions going on with a broad range of these types of potential partners. And in fact, we're at a advanced stage of talks with a private equity group which specializes in mining project development funding. So those are the two broad areas that we are focused on.
An important aspect of the project is its location in Serbia. How would you characterize Serbia and its mining history? And also, would you say that Serbia is a mining-friendly country?
It certainly is a mining-friendly country. The government of Serbia has committed to stimulating and encouraging foreign investment within the mining industry. And in fact, their stated goal is to increase the mining industry's contribution to the GDP from its current 2% level to 5% level by 2020. And they want Serbia to become the leading country in Southeast Europe in the field of mining. Very investor friendly overall. There are no restrictions whatsoever on foreign ownership of any kind in the country. They have a 15% corporate tax rate and a 5% NSR, net smelter royalty on production, which is one of the lowest in the world. There's a 10-year tax holiday available for sizable new projects such as ours that's going to employ many people for long periods of time. Their commitment to mining is evidenced by the types of companies that have moved into Serbia and is actively developing projects. So along with us, there's folks like Rio Tinto, Freeport-McMoRan, Dundee Precious Metals, Zijin, which is a big Chinese mining company, and dozens of other smaller mining companies and exploration companies that have moved in as well.
Good to know. And can you tell us a little bit about yourself and the other key executives of the company?
Sure, I'd be happy to. My board of directors has combined experience well in excess of 100 years between the four of us in all facets of mining, everything from early stage exploration through to mine development, mine production, operation, and even the shutdown and reclamation of closed mines. We also have extensive exploration and development funding experience. As you said earlier, I'm the president and CEO. I have a commerce degree with a major in international finance. I spent a decade in sales management and corporate finance with Canadian-based brokerage firms. And in addition, I have in excess now of 20 years experience in areas of management and financing, strategic planning, business development, and corporate development of natural resource companies. And I've been president of Aaron since 1996. Jim Wallace is one of my other directors. He has his master's degree in mining engineering, and he's our mine development manager. He has in excess of 40 years experience in all phases of mineral exploration and mine development, and he's held senior mine management and consulting positions throughout the world with companies such as Noranda and Kerr Addison and U.S. Borax, Amex, and many more. Dr. Vladan Milosevic has his PhD in mining engineer. He's one of our local directors from Serbia. For about the last 20 years, he's been the department chief for mineral processing at the Institute of Technology in Belgrade. He has served as project manager on numerous very large-scale commercial mining projects in Serbia, including the reconstruction of a flotation plant to increase its capacity to 10 million tons per year of ore at Serbia's largest copper complex. So a very experienced mining engineer. And our final member and our newest member is Dusan Putinowicz, who's a professional geologist, and he's also Serbian. And he has held several positions at the internationally acclaimed Geological Survey of Serbia. Most notably, he was their senior geologist, then their technical director, and ultimately served as their general manager. So we have a very experienced board.
And what's your outlook for Aaron Ventures for the next 12 to 18 months?
Sure. Earlier, I mentioned that our two current areas of focus are, you know, number one, taking the project through to feasibility study level and filing an application with the Serbian government for our mining license. And secondly, developing strategic partnerships with key players within the boron industry. Both of these are goals that we expect to attain within the next 12 to 18 months.
Now, Tim, before we go, can you summarize the key points of interest of Aaron Ventures and tell us why investors should consider buying shares of the company today?
Aaron Ventures offers a pure play in a very valuable and scarce mineral, boron, that has growing uses and demand. And in fact, we are the only pure boron play that an investor can invest in the world, making us a very unique investment opportunity, in my opinion, for somebody that believes that boron is a mineral that they want to add to their portfolio. We are the way to add that mineral to their portfolio. More importantly, I believe we have tremendous cash flow potential, as I stated earlier, and a very short development pathway to realize that potential. And I think most importantly, we're an extremely undervalued situation today, in my opinion. Our current market cap is less than $10 million Canadian. We have a project that has the real potential to cash flow better than 10 times our current market cap per year and maintain that level of cash flow for the next two decades. I believe this makes us a very good buying opportunity today.
Fantastic. Tim, it's been a pleasure speaking with you, and we certainly appreciate your time. We'll be keeping track of the company's progress and look forward to having you back for an update.
Thank you. My pleasure.